I very much appreciate the opportunity to be here today, as well as the sermon that I just heard. Brother Josh mentioned one thing there that I would like to mention again, is that when Jesus was on the cross and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? To me is one of the most secure scriptures in the Bible. Now, a lot of people don't look at it that way, but he would have never said that if God had not turned his face. And why did God turn his face? Is because God cannot look upon sin. And that told me that my sin was placed upon him and I'm secure in him. And by God turning his face, just secured that. So that's a beautiful thought. I love the thoughts that ministers bring out once in a while. He also says, roll tide. Wouldn't it be wonderful today? And I preach to a small crowd every Sunday, so this don't really bother me, but wouldn't it be wonderful if one-tenth of the people that had the energy to get up and go to a ball game would get up and go to church?
Amen.
Now, I know at Tuscaloosa, and I know at Auburn and at Troy and everywhere else, Georgia and all them, all those people, there's a lot of Primitive Baptists in the group. So it's not just the world, it's us. We have left the old past, whether we want to admit that or not. I think a lot about how this world has changed in just my short lifetime. And now it's waxing worse and worse all the time. This is kind of odd, as Brother Josh said, to wake you up. When I was a young child, I used to watch a show called Ozzie and Harriet. I don't know if any of you all remember that show or not. But it was about a couple that was married who had children, David and Rick Nelson. Everybody knows Rick Nelson, the great singer. But do you know, I was listening a while back, it's been a few years, that Ozzie was talking about how things have changed. He said, you know, me and my wife were married when we did that show. But when we did a bedroom sing, he said, I had to lay on one side of the bed with my foot on the floor. And she had to lay on the other side of the bed with her foot on the floor. Look at the bedroom scenes on TV today. They're so far from that. How we have slipped as a nation. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to one of my favorite Psalms, Psalms 115. And Psalms 115, and as Brother Josh, and I did enjoy your sermon very much, mentioned what he was going to speak on before he spake on it, if that's the right word, then I'm going to try to speak on the glory of God. This psalm starts out, says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen rage? Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are of silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Isaiah 42 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, neither will my praise to a graven image. Now, how often do you think that we fail to give God the glory? I'll give you an example this morning that as you read the Bible, and I know most of you are Bible students, and you know the story of Solomon and the strength that he had and how he took the jawbone of an ass and slayed over 1,000 people with it. Mighty man. But where did he get his strength? Now, if you said in his hair, you're wrong. His hair was a symbol of his strength. His strength came from God. And if I'm going to give glory to God, then when I talk about Solomon, I'm going to have to say that he got his strength from God, not from his hair. See how easy it would be to take God's glory? We do that all the time. You know, a lot of people rob God of his glory. We ask God for certain things that we know God's not going to answer. God is unique, if I can use that word. He's not humanistic like you and I are. And I don't even like that term because that's an evolutionary term. The Bible says man. He's not man. He was man, but he's not man. He's 100% God, and he was 100% man, but now he's in heaven making intercession for you and I. Preachers out there in the world take his glory all the time. I talked to a young minister one time who was trying so hard to save people. And I said, you know, you believe that your works and your ability lays up treasure in eternal heaven for you. And the more people you save, the more treasures you have laid up there, or a better house you're going to have. He said, I absolutely believe that. I said, well, what if you save one that's better than you are? And he moves ahead of you on the rung of the ladder. He said, well, I don't guess that'd be so bad, but I don't think he'd be better than I am. See, now that's the attitude of people when they think they've got to help God. They put themselves in the place of God. You know, all these ministers go to these seminars and different things, and I'm not against teaching God's Word. But I want to tell you something. What I've got against seminars is not what a lot of Primitive Baptists have against them. I wouldn't care to go to them, and I wouldn't mind to go to one myself if they had the appropriate teachers. You see, the person that teaches the Word of God must be called even as Aaron was. They need the gift of teaching. Wisdom is a wonderful thing, but do you know wisdom is a gift? I'm talking about spiritual wisdom. Now, you can have natural wisdom. A lot of people don't have. They've got a lot of knowledge, but they don't have any wisdom. They don't know what to do with the knowledge they've got.
That's right.
But spiritual wisdom comes from God, but knowledge comes from you. God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, that workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth. I am to study God's Word and pray for wisdom, that I might understand what God's Word is. I don't have the right, even on this scripture, though it seems very plain to me, to go and preach to you without first asking God's blessings upon it. And that's what we do a lot of times. I had a person tell me the other day, oh, well, I read the Bible all the time, but I don't understand it. I said, don't feel bad. I don't either. I don't understand everything in God's Word, but I'll tell you one thing that will help you is if you will pray before you read. Now, since I mentioned prayer, I heard a doctor one time talk about prayer, said he believed in prayer helped people. And a person said, well, who do you think they should pray to? He said, well, that don't matter. He said, don't make no difference as long as they pray. I thought, how ridiculous that statement is. Do you know prayer has never done nothing for you? It's the God that answers the prayer that does it. And we need to give God the glory. When we go out here and say, boy, prayer really works. God really works. Prayer is our conduit to God. I have heard this a lot of times from different places, and I read it one time in Reader's Digest, and I've always loved it. It says prayer is you talking to God. Meditation is God talking to you. How many times do we pray, but we don't stop to see what the answer is? You know, with my mom and dad, a lot of times I didn't want the answer because I already knew what it was going to be before we got there. So that's why I didn't want the answer. With us, it's the same way. If God's going to say no to what we're praying for, we don't want to hear the answer. But the answer's not going to change. Now, it says, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. There was a time in Israel, and you go back into the book of Samuel, I believe it is, 1 Samuel, 4th chapter, and you can read a battle going on. Israel is fighting a battle, and they're fighting the Philistines. And they're out there on the battlefield, and the Philistines slayed 1,000 Israelites. Israel thought to themselves, well, we're in trouble. Let's send and get the Ark of the Covenant. And if we get the Ark of the Covenant here, we'll win the battle. So they sent and got the Ark of the Covenant and brought it there. And when that Ark came in the camp, I try to visualize these things in my mind, and it makes it more appealing to me. what a shout went up. All these people were happy. Hey, you know, God's here. Ark's here. God's here. That's what they think. The Philistines heard Israel make that shout, and some of them were scared and said, their God's there. That's the God that plagued Egypt. That's the God that delivered him before. What are we going to do? One of the Philistines was smarter than anyone else. He said, quiet yourself. We'll go fight. And I forget, I believe it's 30,000 Israelites got slayed that time. Now think about that. When they went to battle to start with, they lost 1,000 people. When they went to battle with the Ark of the Covenant, they lost 30,000. What is God trying to tell you? The law is good, but it will not save you. Only God can do that. Now, God protects His Word. Don't ever think that He don't. Because when that Ark of the Covenant, when they took those 30,000 people, they took the Ark and put it before their god Dagon. And they thought, well, now this is, we'll just give this to our God. They got up the next day, Dagon was laying on the floor. That kind of scared them. They thought, well, maybe somebody shoved him over, you know. So they set him back up. The next day, all that was left of Dagon was the stump. His hands was gone, his head was gone, everything was off. And that's a fish god, by the way, Dagon. It looked like a fish. Yeah. He was so tore up that they thought, well, we got to get rid of this ark. And I'm telling you, what's the world doing today? They want rid of God's laws. They want rid of God's word. They want rid of everything that pertains to God. And we let them every day. Spiritual gifts that God gives us is a wonderful thing. But do you realize that your spiritual gift is not for you? Your spiritual gift is for me. My spiritual gift is for you. But how many of us have gotten presents and can't wait to open them? You know, we're coming up on Christmas time. There'll be a lot of packages, and I'm not against having the Christmas tree, and I'm not going to get into all that, but the kids will all have these little packages under the tree, and you'll have some. And you'll come down there, and you'll try to act like it don't matter, but you just can't wait to open that package. See what somebody gave you. But do you know God has given spiritual gifts to a lot of people and they won't even open the package? They just set it on a shelf and say, yeah, he gave it to me. And that's from God. And I'm going to keep it. What happened to the person that only had one talent? God took that talent. Amen. And God can take your gift if you don't start using it. Amen. God's word is not for sale. Understand that. All these preachers that are on TV in different places. And listen, I'm not opposed to having a paid minister. Don't get me wrong there. If your church can afford it and you can find somebody that God has called, I'm all for it. Amen. But the fact of it is, most of you can't. Most of you can't afford it. I'd hate to think I had to make my living off of what I preached. But I want you to understand, I'll tell you this, though. The most money I was ever given was given to me on a Saturday night in the state of Virginia in an old-time Primitive Baptist church. Up there, the minister, when I got through preaching that day and sat down, or that evening and sat down, he got up and he talked to Juan. He said, now, if any of you would like to help Brother Miller on his way, give it to him. Right, a lot of people came by and they stuck money in your pocket. You know how they do, and that was the way they did then. Except this one little old lady. If I can use that term, I'm not being detrimental to it. But she come up and she opened her purse and she started digging. And I put my hand on her shoulder and I said, that's okay. They've given to me quite enough. She said, he said to give it to us if we wanted to, and I want to. I said, okay. So I stood there and I watched her dig and dig and dig till she finally found a dollar bill that was folded up about that big. I mean, it was really folded up and tucked down in there. And when she took it out, I knew without a doubt that's the only money she had. because I see everything else in their pocketbook. And I want you to know, I'm standing there because I have a job. I was a coal miner. We got paid decent wages. I had better than $100 at that time. This was back in the 70s. I had better than $100 in my pocket. I didn't have to have any money. I didn't need any money. I had plenty of money to get me home. I had a good place to go that night to stay. And here's this woman giving me the last dollar. And I started not to take it. But I remember a sermon my pastor had preached. And he talked about a lady that wanted to give him money one time, and he wouldn't take it. And he said, you know, that woman never spoke to me again. She thought I was too good. Or she thought I thought I was too good to take anything of hers. Well, I took that dollar. But I went outside the church and went around to the side of the church, and I knelt down and I begged God to bless her with every bit of the blessings in heaven. Because that's the most money I've ever received. And I've never forgot it. Just like the women that throwed in two mites into the treasury, and Jesus said she throwed in more than they all. Because a lot of them had lots of money. They just give a part. So saying all that now, how much have you gave in God's service? You can't give God anything. The earth is His and the fullness thereof, and all of it belongs to Him. But what have you given in your service? We sang that song, Take My Life and Let It Be. Most of us says, take it on Sunday morning and I'll take it the rest of the week. That's not giving glory unto God. But what I was getting back to about this paid ministry, there was a time in Israel when the apostles was out and they would pray and lay their hands upon somebody and they would receive the Holy Ghost. There was one by the name of Simeon that was there said, give me this power. I will pay you to give me this power. What did Peter say? Thy money perish with thee. Listen, children of God, God has given this freely. Why don't we want to come out and take of His house and learn of Him? All the wickedness that's going on in this world, if I give glory to God, you know what He gives me? Blessings. I've never done nothing in the service of God that I didn't receive a lot more than what I put in. We think about all these things that happens, and ministers get up here and they try to preach, and some preach and some don't. Do you realize that preaching comes from God? I can study this Bible from Revelations all the way back to Genesis, or from Genesis all the way through to Revelations. And if I was smart enough, which I'm not, I could remember every verse in the Bible. I could quote you the whole thing. And that still wouldn't make me a minister of the gospel. Some of the best ministers I ever seen, I know a man by the name of Elder Lilly, Edgar Lilly. And I used to love to hear him preach because his favorite saying was, yes sirree, Bob. Whenever he would hit a point, it's yes sirree, Bob, that's the way it is. But do you know that man was ignorant according to the world? Because he was a farmer. That's how he raised his family, on the farm, raising everything, selling what he could sell to get money to buy other things with. And I'm telling you, that's a wonderful profession. I've got nothing against it. But people looked at him like he was ignorant, mainly because he couldn't read or write. He couldn't read the newspaper, but he felt that burden to preach. And he felt like, I don't know the Bible. Could you imagine what a shape that would be in? So him and his wife was named Ethel, they would take the Bible and sit down at the kitchen table. And she would start reading, and he would read behind her. Like say, not unto. And he would do that time and time again until he got to the point that he could read the Bible. But he told me, he said, I still can't read the newspaper because it don't go together like the Bible did. But do you know how much God blessed that man? The last time he preached, he came down out of the pulpit and sat down at the front of the church and died in that spot. What a way to go out. I mean, the services of God, that the more you put in it, I'm going to tell you something this morning, the more you put in it, the more you'll get out of it. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else. The less you put in it, the less you'll get out of it. We see this, though, that we see today that we try to blame the world. We look out here and say it's terrible. And I told you to start with that we have left the old past. There's a scripture in the 5th chapter of Matthew, and the 13th verse says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Jesus said that to you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But it says, "But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" It's good for nothing but to be walked on. That's what it's good for. You know, I'm going to tell you and be bold enough to tell you this morning that what's wrong with this world today is not Democrats, by the way. It's not Republicans. It's not even Obama. It's not Hollywood. It's not anything else but saltless Christians. That's what's wrong with this world. We've got no salt. We don't stand for nothing. We say, well, you know, it's a sign of times. It's just the way things are. The way things are is because we let them get that way. Do you know what this earth is for? It's not for the world. It's for God's people to dwell in. And the reason it's bad is because God's people has turned away from the old ways. And he says, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name give glory. That's what I want to do all my life. Give glory and honor to God. And then he goes on down, and I'm going to say a couple more things, and I'll get out of the way here. He says, but our God is in the heavens. You can go into almost any house in the world. Well, you used to be able to, maybe not today. But you could find what they called a picture of Jesus on the wall. I went to a lot of workplaces where you go into the superintendent's office or something, they'd have a calendar up there with Jesus' picture on it. You wouldn't believe how many people talked to that picture like they were talking to God. There is no picture in this world that looks like Jesus looks. Understand that to start with. How many people wear a cross? And I'm not opposed to wearing a cross, and you wear one if you like. That's your business. But what I am opposed to is when something happens, you grab that cross and say, Lord, help me. And you start rubbing that cross like it's some miracle thing. The cross I want you to think about is the one that's on Golgotha Hill that Christ hung between heaven and earth, and you're not going to wear that around your neck. And that symbol you're wearing is nothing but that. It was a symbol of what that was. So don't worship the symbol. He said, our God is in the heavens. He's not here on earth. No rosary beads are going to help you. Praying to Mary ain't going to help you. I'm not trying to knock the Catholic Church, but they can pray to the Virgin Mary all they want to. Not one of them prayers goes through. Jesus is your intercessor. And that's the only intercessor we have. And I'm going to throw this in for free because I get tired of people telling people that you have to cover your head or don't cover your head. You know when the Bible's telling you that the head of the woman is the man and the head of the man is Christ? And when it says that it's a sin for a woman to pray without covering her head, that's not telling you to put a scarf on. That's telling you to look away from your head, which is your husband, and look to Christ. And it's telling a man that it would be a sin to cover up Christ and try to pray to God. Because Christ is his head, he has to pray for Christ. Every prayer we make goes through Christ first. He's the one making intercession for us. So when we think about all these things, who do we really give glory to? It's my life. And when I think about the body, what does the world see? You know, when you see me coming down the road, you see me coming into the church, you go, there's Roger Miller. Why do you do that? Because you recognize this body. Do you know what you are? You are the body of Christ. Amen. When the world looks at you, do they recognize Jesus' body? Or what do they recognize? There's just another part of the world. I pray too many God's people. That's what they see. Just another part of the world. So they paid no attention to you. They're not afraid of you. The greatest weapon that Satan has is doubt. If he can make me doubt my salvation, if he can make me doubt that I need to proclaim his word and witness his truth, then he's done with me. Elder Wilson Thompson one time was teaching school, and after school he'd have Bible classes or preaching. One of the people in town that he had to ride by when he was going to school, he rode a horse, stopped him on his way to school, had an axe in his hand. And he looked at Wilson Thompson and he said, if you don't stop teaching that stuff, he said, I'm going to hit you with this axe. Do you know what Wilson Thompson said? You'll only do what my God will let you do. Now, if we could have that faith today and that glory to God, that this world will only do what God will let it do. I had a fellow come to me the other day and ask me this question, and I had to correct him, and I don't like to do that. He said, why does God allow this stuff to happen? I'm going to tell you something. God has never allowed the first sin to happen. He suffered it. Big difference. When I allow my son to do something, it means I sanction it. God has never sanctioned sin, but he suffers it because you do it. And he doesn't want robots serving him. His brother Josh talked about robots. He wants you to do it willingly and faithfully in his service. Glory, glory to God. May God bless you.